Coney, guess what?
What up?
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? That's a lot, if you think about it. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. Now think about that. That's young men. Mm-hmm. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, the friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS, capital TCS, to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use promo code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. With that being in mind, yo, you can perform simple routine checks, self-checks at home while enjoying Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It makes sense, right? We use products daily to trim and maintain our boys down there. And the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra features two interchangeable skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking low off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth and sleek. These are perfect. With dual LED spotlights, you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. And you don't like making a mess? Well, this thing is waterproof. You can turn the water on while you're doing the shower, shave in the shower, in the bath, or even in, if you want to, Conan, if you want to go to the beach in San Diego and use your Manscaped, you can do that in the ocean.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And you can bring this trimmer wherever you go. Thanks to the wireless changing capabilities and travel lock features, you can take, Conan, you can take your Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 to AAA tapings. Isn't that great?
Yes, that's very great.
Keep it nice and shiny.
In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they'll be donating $50,000. Holy smokes. Boy, that's a lot. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off for free shipping with the code K100. That's K100. Because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your chicken, your balls, and your mentals. That's Manscaped, manscaped.com/K100.
Yeah, this is our best-selling product. You know, we highly recommend it for everybody. We have a lot of the boys in the business that use it. We use it ourselves. And the great thing about this product is they're talking about for your pubic hair and all that. You can use it under your arms. You can use it on your legs, on your chest, on your back, on your head, on your face. So this new one that they just came out with, the Lawnmower 5.0, is incredible. Gets a really good shave. I use it every day. And the great thing, it comes with a nice leather bag, not some cheap plastic bag. It comes with some nice briefs, the most comfortable briefs I've ever tried on. It's just an incredible thing, you know. So
don't forget the crop reviver. You know, the warmer months are coming up, so you got to get that crop reviver going on, the crop preserver, get all your sprays and moisturizers going on.
Yeah, Joe used to suffer from swamp ass, but he doesn't anymore because of this crop preserver.
Right.
So
and as you could see Friday or Thursday, you know, we were there together. I smelled terrific. Remember you said you smelled pretty
good? I want to make a
So get yourself smelling good. They've got fragrances. They've got deodorants. Keep your beard trimmed. Keep your shit trimmed downstairs. Keep your hair trimmed. Smell nice. They got deodorant. Got the crop preserver. We take care of you 360. Boom. Check it out at Manscaped.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang,
da,
bang, da, bang, bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, da, bang, da, bang, bang. We be dumping. Bang, da, bang, da, bang, bang. Just act like you know and homie, stop rocking through stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feed up. Queen stuff is some dickies.
I rap a lot like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Cali to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, yo, get sprayed.
We be dropping. Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang. Don't say nothing. Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang. We be dropping. Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang.
All right, next one's from Small Vampire, except he's Bischoff versus Khan. Conan, do you think this feud between Eric Bischoff and Tony Khan is going a little too far? I love seeing the trading insults online, but with wrestling marks being wrestling marks, and they start picking sides and acting like it's a real-life war, making threats, doxing people's private information, etc., like what they did with Girl on Cinema was just absolutely horrible. AEW Marks found out where she lived, discovered she was getting married, and she lost her wedding venue because AEW Marks said she has some type of criminal history. AEW fans are pieces of garbage. Is that true?
I didn't know that. I remember seeing that they found her name and shit. But.
Look at that Girl on Cinema wedding fiasco. Like, Google that. Plus, it's even escalated to Tony Khan taking shots at Bischoff's former co-hosts, who were notorious AEW shills anyway. You think this feud is great content or time for them to move on? Well, it's great content for Eric because he just eviscerates. Here's what Eric does. He gives constructive criticism, but in a very condescending and entertaining way, because Tony likes to, you know, has taken and thrown shade at him. So Tony's not as good on Twitter as Eric is. And then Eric can, you know, has a show. It's like, why would you attack somebody that has a show? You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense, because the guy can just like cut promos on you ad nauseum. You know, it's like, what do you think about this, Conan?
Yeah, he attacked you. You know what I'm saying? He's just lucky you didn't have the same type of venom Eric had for him.
Yeah.
But have I heard of this girl on Cinema? For some reason, that name sounds familiar.
It was back like a few years ago where like people were like, she was just like, she didn't even have like a lot of followers. She had, like, 4,000 followers on Twitter, but she was in like the community of people that.
Yeah.
Why were the AEW fans dragging her?
She buried it a lot. She didn't like the product and she kind of made fun of it in her videos, and they went after her for that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they do. It's unbelievable that you go after the critics of the show and attack them. Look deeper, huh? Joe, did you look up the story?
I can't find it, but I'm just going to ask her.
Oh, you know her?
Well, yeah, she did a drop for the show and stuff and an intro.
Oh, she did? Interesting.
Yeah, back three years ago.
Any girl that's ever been on the show, he keeps in contact with Hope.
I'm just a nice guy coming at
you. No, you're not.
Next is White Golding. White Golding, the subject is Lying Brett. In his own book, Bret Hart said the British Bulldog came into their classic SummerSlam 92 match out of shape and became quickly blown up due to Bulldog being up for days smoking crack before the show. Yet recently in a shoot interview, Bret Hart said the day was all blown up because Bulldog was sick from dealing with a staph infection. I get that Bret has this, in my opinion, hilarious reputation for trash-talking people, but do you think there's a chance he just flat-out lied about Bulldog? I mean, that's a wild story deviation. P.S. Just to add, the Bret versus Bulldog rematch in your house is better than SummerSlam 92. Yeah, I said it. I just want to say, because the Bulldog is past, I don't like to say anything disparaging. You know, I don't want to, but Bret's first version is more than likely true.
Yeah.
Of that is what I would say. So, can you comment on that, Conan?
Probably. What year was it? 92?
Yeah, actually, taking it back, that was their big match at Wembley.
Yeah, interesting.
Who knows if 92 he was doing that. He was definitely doing it in WCW. I love Bulldog. You know, I worked with him and traveled with him when I was in Canada for Stu Hart. Mm-hmm. And we went to all over Canada, obviously, because, you know, it was a national promotion. But also we went together to Kuwait, somewhere else. He was always great.
Yeah, I think this guy's just confused. I think the SummerSlam 92 story is correct. The one where Bulldog had a staph infection was when they wrestled again in 95.
Right.
Yeah.
Next is from Ryan Damone. The subject is Bulldog in the Trap Door. During the Bulldog biography, the aired a clip of him blaming his back injury on no one telling him about the trap door that was in the ring during Fall Brawl 98. Were you guys aware? How many times have we answered this? Are you guys aware?
Well, obviously, this guy's never heard it.
The possibly misdemeanor. What? I'm a huge Star Trek fan. Thanks, and it's Ryan.
Thank you.
So we knew about the trap door. It was against us. Me and Alex. So I don't know what he's talking about.
What was the last thing that this guy said?
Is it possibly missed a meeting or what? I'm a huge Star Trek fan.
Yellow card, this guy, Joe.
Ryan Damone. Yeah, I mean, Disco, you even told that story way back when I was still doing Creative Control, and I was always
this guy didn't hear it.
It's because the trapdoor story keeps getting pushed. Now it was on the Dark Side of the Ring show, and it's not the truth, but it's always told that way, you know? And Disco's told his story fucking a dozen times.
Conan, guess what?
Yo, what up?
We have some great news.
All right.
The Legacy Test Stack and the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack are back in stock for LegacySubs.com. And I'm sure our boy Nick Aldis, who ruptured a biceps tendon. It's going to be stacking up on the legacy chest stack and the ultimate chest stack to rehabilitate his injury. Do you think you might be doing that?
For sure.
Well, this product has been proven to be so popular, the legacy has been out of stock for almost a month. So if you've been on the fence about trying their best-selling stack for safety and naturally optimize your testosterone levels, don't hesitate. The modern world is full of harmful chemicals that lower your testosterone, and the best way to fight back is to make sure you're naturally stimulating your body's own natural testosterone production at all times. Healthy testosterone levels account for more strength and more energy, that's obvious. Also, a healthier sex drive and better sleep. A lot of people probably didn't know that. So invest in your health and performance now and order the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack at LegacySubs.com and remember to use the code K100. It's the number one discount code used for LegacySubs.com to get a 10% discount and support the show. That's LegacySubs.com. Level up with Legacy. All of our friends, if they get it, don't forget, reorder if you're running out. And for all our newbies that are listening to this, we've got great testimonials from our followers that have been using this. They've been losing weight, feeling better, getting more muscular. It's great products there by our boy Nick Aldis and LegacySubs.com.
Right. And there's a reason why this is their best-selling thing. We've been doing business with them for 3 years. You know, the Test X9 is like an optimizer. So like he said, it helps with libido. It helps with your energy levels. It helps with your workouts. I mean, you know, testosterone. That's why guys over 40 years old are just running to get the TRT therapy. You know what I'm saying? Because right. It works. So we use these products ourselves. You can't go wrong with them. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
Subject from Justin Alkade, the subject is money and passion. Hello, Joe Conan and Disco. So recently, Santana stated that his fallout with Ortiz occurred because of differences in views, and what do you guys think is right in the business of professional wrestling? Based on what Santana said, he wanted more for them as a team, and Ortiz was getting comfortable with the role and assuming they're making more money than they ever seen, as you can see where the level of comfort is coming from. Which side do you think is best to go for more, career or bank on the comfortable living?
Well, I mean, the career, I would think, you know?
I went into pretty good detail about this whole story before, but yeah, I would bank on myself, on my career, instead of staying somewhere comfortable where my stock never rises because they don't do shit with me.
Is there any plans for, is Santana going to come do some shots for AAA or anything? Are you going to work with them again?
If I would, it would be a surprise.
Got it.
Next is from Sungada Chanko, the subject is Heedless Company. Good day, K100. Long time no see. I hope everyone's doing well. You've probably seen the AEW number from Dynamite. The show is doing around 850K. Now it's averaging 800K or below. I think it's because nobody has any heat on the show. People just have matches trying to get 5 stars, but nobody ever does anything to elicit emotion or tell a freaking story. And that isn't, wow, look how cool these moves are. But that being said, besides production tricks, which you mentioned before, how should AEW try to make their talents seem more important to get some heat onto their heels so that people are emotionally invested? P.S. I've been impressed with William Ospreay and Japanese Cody Rhodes. Their booking sucks, though.
Who's Japanese Cody Rhodes? Okada?
Okada.
I don't know, bro. The show misses MJF.
Except Okada actually looks cool. Nothing?
Right. Oh,
God. Cheap show. Say it how I see you.
Well, first of all, like, you know, there's more fist bumping and shaking hands after matches than there is heat on the show. An AEW. You notice that, Conan?
No, I'll tell you what there's more of is every time somebody gets heat, somebody comes out and runs them off.
Right. So there's like no heat. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the way to fix that, and we've been saying this for a long time, Chanko, and I know you've heard us because you're a long time listener. So yellow card this guy, please.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. Just get heat and don't have baby faces come in there and fuck it up. Get heat. You know, there's a million ways to get heat. You're a wrestling fan, you know. Do one of my favorite heat spots is get 3 guys with an over baby face and have all 3 of them stump a mud hole in them. That always gets heat. It's like, oh, you dirty bastards, why don't you do a one-on-one? It's like a subliminal thing. That always works. So many things you can do to get heat, and they don't do it. Very rarely.
Who's got the most heat on the shows right now?
On their show?
A non-wrestler, yeah. Don Callis.
Don Callis.
Now, a wrestler?
Sure. Adam Page? Joe?
No, they like him. They like Joe.
Okay.
Joe's going to kill you when he comes out? Joe.
That's their problem. Let me tell the problem right off the bat, okay?
Joe's a cool, he's a cool heel, bro. How do you not like him?
Two of your top baby faces, Joe and Swerve. Okay, and that's based on crowd reaction.
Right.
We're still being promoted. It's kind of like, you know, Joe's still a heel. Like, he's never gone babyface, and Swerve is still part of a heel faction. So, yeah. you got these guys you haven't figured out how to make them over babyfaces, you know. So, bro, all you had to do in this angle, okay, is have the what's his name come out there for the Nana guy come out there dance and have Joe come up and choke the guy out. And then Swerve comes to run out. That's all you really had to do.
Yeah, and ruin the dance for the people. Swerve
is even over a more clear-cut over baby faces, and Joe is a clear-cut heel. That's all you had to do. And they haven't been, like, you know, so everybody's in a gray area on that show. There's the heels, the true heels on that show don't have any heat. And I don't really, the baby faces aren't really baby faces yet. Like the Blindfold Combat Club. Are they heels or baby faces?
I don't know.
Let me tell you how warped this is, how upside down everything is here. Let's think about this, Conan. There's four top baby, like, I would say maybe Adam Page is in there too, but Adam Page is like good turning heel, right? Because he's sporting for Fury. Adam Page is kind of like an over baby face, but Okada is in a heel faction, but the fans cheer for him.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ospreay is still in a heel faction. Like, he's never quit Don Callis's group yet, has he?
No.
Okay. He's a baby face. He's in a heel faction. Swerve is a baby face. He's in a heel faction. And Joe is a heel, but the fans just love Joe from Ring of Honor. Like, he's got that old thing, so he's a baby face. So your four top baby faces aren't in Cassidy's a baby face, but, you know, and the Blackpool Combat Club, they're a heel faction, but they get cheered. I mean, come on, guys. It's not hard to get heat. Quit having guys shaking hands after matches. For example, on WWE, McDonough got beat, right? And they were hyping him up. You better go out and take care of business, right? Well, he got beat. Okay, so what did the freaking Judgment Day do that show? They went out later on. They laid out all the baby faces, and they all stood tall and raised their hands, and the segment ended. They got their heat back.
Nobody came out and ran him off.
Right. And he went to the segment. They stood tall. They had their heads raised. And all the baby faces are selling on the ground. And the fans are booing them again. You know? So, like, yeah. I mean, it's not that hard to do, guys.
I'd like to see Tony's notebook. I would. See what's going on.
I wonder if there's any, like, hidden, like, if people have... did you see the clip from the backstage... And Sammy Guevara was going into Tony's office. Did we talk about this?
No.
Okay, next one's from Power Requires Hustle. Subject is, hey, fam, have you ever participated in a coal miner's glove on a pole match? Yes, I have. Okay, and this is a great story, too. Okay? King Cold. So he's got a track here with Jelly Roll, okay, on the YouTube, but we can put that in our Patreon. So send that to Patreon, Joe.
And put it on the Juicy Seal.
His Return to the Ring is another YouTube clip, but these are too long to put on the break, but we'll put it in the Patreon. Thank you, guys. I got a funny story. So when I was working for North Georgia Championship Wrestling, it's a redneck promotion I started with back in 1992. Okay, we would do TV tapings, and one of the TV tapings was an old WCW stomping ground, Rome, Georgia.
Right, yeah.
Remember, we used to TV tapings in Rome, Georgia sometimes, right?
Yes.
Smaller building. We wrestled in Rome, Georgia. I always have to say it like that.
People loved wrestling over there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge. So we were going to have a coal miner's gloves match, okay? And this is just an indie organization. Coal miner's glove match. I'm going like, does anybody have a coal miner's glove? And everybody's like, no. It's like, okay. Well, go. So they sent me out. They gave me like $50 to go buy a coal miner's glove. Okay. I think the nearest coal mine from Rome, Georgia was like 1,000, like 600 miles away or something like that.
Right.
So I went and got an oven mitt, okay, and a chain. And I took the oven mitt, and because a coal miner's glove like has chains because you're picking up coal and stuff and things, got like chains on the glove. I put the chain around the oven mitt, and that was our makeshift coal miner's glove, and I had a coal miner's glove match with that. They got color.
But then
I think I gave the guy some color too that night. That coal miner's glove, and he got color.
good deal.
And I heard a story like that once. I don't remember if it was Scott Hall or what, but it was the same thing where they use an oven mitt and they just put silver tape around it.
Yeah.
Coal miners.
But like, but I think the guy asked if it was on a pole, right?
Yeah.
Had you seen matches like on a pole before Vince Russo?
Like coal miners match or coal miners glove on a pole?
Yeah. Or anything on a pole.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah. Back in the Omni, Georgia Championship Wrestling, he said shit like
what
that.
What would they put on top of a pole?
Like a coal miner's glove or a kendo stick or something like that. Okay. Like a kendo Nagasaki, I think, was wrestling the guy. And
okay.
A kendo stick on a pole match or something.
I don't remember those.
I remember.
What else would they put on the pole? There was something else they put on the pole, like the brass knuckle. Or something like that, they
they used to do the nightstick and it would be Boss Man versus Nails or the Mountie or something, right? That's the first one I remember.
Conan,
what up?
I've got a public service announcement.
Really? You're leaving the show?
No.
All right.
No. K100 with Conan Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Want to hear about Get Blitzed?
I know about it, but go ahead.
Get Blitz was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. This is the real deal THC and not the garbage they sell at the gas stations. It's super potent, like THC on steroids. It has only a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon, and it's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party, and there's no hangover. You can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, energy drink, whatever you want. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. So go to getblitz.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. Now, I've been using this product and it's fantastic. On my days off, I like to go out and either like do like a long bike ride or a hike or go to the gym and do cardio. And afterwards, I get a nice meal and it's late in the afternoon. I like to take a teaspoon and bro, it's so relaxed. Do you use it? What products do you use this? I love the grape. I use the grape.
I love this thing. Then again, I've been using cannabis in one form or another for since I was like 12. I like this a lot because it doesn't bring you down hard. It's a really calm effect when you come down. I love the piña colada. I love the grape. Yeah, those two are the ones that I like. My favorites. And so I'll put it in anything from Sprite to orange juice to some Grey Goose. It mixes well with everything. And like I'm trying to get off blunts, which I love because it's bad for your lungs, just as almost as bad as cigarettes. So I've been trying to get more into liquids and edibles. Yeah, so you can't go wrong with this. I mean, the real deal, we wouldn't be using it and we would not be promoting it.
Yeah, so if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at getblitzed.com and use our code K100 to get 15% off. So order, enjoy, and let us know on Twitter or k100questions@gmail.com how your experience was. That's 15% off with the code K100 at getblitz.com.
Yeah, and what makes it so special is, like Disco said before, nano-infused, which is basically nano-emulsification technology. So it breaks the THC into smaller particles for faster absorption, right? Dude, I'm on Blitz right now. So, but anyways, get high, stay happy, functioning, get blitzed, boom.
Next up, J God Rage. The subject is Marks Are in Denial. Hey, Keeping 100 crew. These marks can't handle the fact that CM Punk is a draw. If you watched last Monday Night Raw, you noticed the stage in Titantron was downsized just for new seats to be sold. Yes, it was in Chicago, but still. If you see on WWE's YouTube channel, you see almost over 500,000 views on videos of CM Punk's segments. Same goes for The Rock and even Roman. My question is this. Are these marky marks in denial, or are they mad AEW hasn't put WWE out of business like they said it will? I think, bro, any mark that is educated by the dirt sheets and the mark podcasters is not well educated. They're well educated if you listen to the people that like have the correct takes on things like we have for years. So, yeah, they're not in denial. They're just misinformed. You got any comment on that, Conan?
What was the question?
Are the marks in denial or are they just misinformed?
Well, bro, you've got to be in denial if you can't accept the fact or come to grips with the fact that this guy's a fucking draw. All the metrics, you know, all the numbers, everything point, you know.
Yep, 100%. Next one's from Matthew Foster, subject's greetings from the UK. Yes, Joe. How are you doing over there, man? Very good, I hope. I've never been in contact before, so please let me introduce myself. My name is Foz, and I'm a huge fan of Caitlin Hunter. You guys have a great dynamic. It's been ace hearing you get more and more over with Conan and Disco over the years. Joe?
What?
Joe, good for you, my dude.
Thank you.
First and foremost, I've got to send you a huge thank you. Basically, my life has switched up since the pandemic as it changed my career and lifestyle, and K100 has brought me many smiles and laughs during some times that were maybe a little less light than usual. Prior to the pandemic, I was running my own events company. Joe, man, I was putting on club shows, on club night shows in Manchester, UK, and it's very interesting to hear some of the similarities with that and hearing about wrestling show promotion. I did that for a decade, man, and had monthly attendances of around 500 to 700, with some of the bigger shows seeing over 2,500 heads in attendance. I've got a master's in international festivals and events management, as well as a degree. Jesus Christ, this thing's long. As well as a degree in music production with lots of stories accumulated over the years. I read about your story on the wrestling estate and thought I'd drop you a nudge on if you ever.
The wrestling estate. I did an interview for the website.
I'm not reading any more. This is way too long. He's talking. The guy's in love with you, Joe. Okay, so you can read the rest of this.
Well, here's the end. It's just yeah. Go ahead.
There's a pretty case. He finally asked some questions, but we're going to suspend him anyway. So just like, which decade awesome. Would you three say was the best for being a pro wrestling fan and why? 90s, duh.
90s.
Pretty generic question, but I'll still gain some interesting responses, I'm sure. 90s all the way, eh? Yes. Thanks again, Joe. I hope to hear from you, my dude. Please also thank Cody and Disco for being legend. You guys and Cornette put out the best wrestling podcast. Positive energy being sent from Manchester, my dude. That's some Foz.
Thank you, Foz.
Joe, you and Foz.
Very nice.
Chatterbait session.
Foz, with all your experience in event promotion and all, why you could book a K100 live in England. Let's do it.
You do a chatterbait with Foz, Joe?
This is the first I've ever heard from
him. do you think that we should get a cut of whatever Foz pays Joe for his chatterbait session?
He needs the money. He's always asking people to go fund his cat or some other shit like that.
Is he really?
Yes.
He's not doing well. It's pretty serious.
Think about that, Joe.
Yeah.
You literally don't want to pay your own money to cure your
cat. No, that's not. I pay the bills. Hey, if you want to chip in and buy a shirt, I get a proceeds from that, and I'll put it towards his vet bill. That's all. That's all. It's not a dire situation. I can afford it and all that. It's just
you can't afford it. You just don't love your cat enough to go out of your own pocket and pay for your cat, curing your cat. Would you agree with that, Joe? Conan, does the evidence point to that?
No, he's just being cheap and trying to get other people to pay for him. Whatever excuse he gives us, that's the facts.
Next is some armbar sidebar. Subject is WWE's witches versus AEW's witches.
Okay, nobody ever told me what's the wrestling estate.
Oh, it was just a website. The guy was based in Philly. Just a site with interviews and reviews and stuff.
And so this guy wants to work with you?
No, he interviewed me a few years ago.
No, this guy that wrote this email.
Oh, Foz? I don't know. What was that? The hell was he saying, Disco? It was a long intro.
You don't read the letters before you put them on?
I don't remember what he kind of just wants me to hit him up, I guess. Putting
you over, I would think you'd read it a couple of times.
Yeah, he wants to chat. He thinks we'll have a good dynamic.
Tell him to join the Patreon.
Hell deal.
Fine.
Hell of a deal.
Next one is from...
Oh, wait. We got a response from the girl on cinema.
What'd she say?
She said, I asked her if that was true, that the wedding venue was ruined by the AEW fans. She said, oh, wow, that is hilarious. Not sure where how that got started, but unfortunately, the only fuck-up on my wedding day was your typical dysfunctional family shenanigans, and I did not get any of the ice cream in my own ice cream bar. Thanks for asking for clarification. Feel free to email any future questions. And thanks, I'm doing well. Currently watching the Bray Wyatt documentary. All right, okay. So it's not true.
So does she still have a podcast?
I haven't heard of her in a long time.
Ask her. I'll ask her.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. We got to suspend that guy for misinformation.
Which one? Froz?
Oh, yeah, Foz. Which one was this, Joe? Find out which email.
Yeah, I'll get him. I'll get him.
Yeah. So, he's suspended.
Yeah. Boy, we've had a lot of yellow cards today. I like it.
Six suspensions and yellow cards, at least.
Yeah.
WWE witches versus AEW's witches. Hi, guys. I heard a recent clip of the two of you discuss how green and non-menacing AEW's witch duo of Julia Harrett and Sky Blue are. I was recently thinking about how the opposite is true for WWE's Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. The Unholy Union hasn't been used a lot of WWE since TV since moving from NXT, but that could change post-Mania. Did you guys see their spooky vignettes and cool entrance? Do you think they do the Gothic Witch character better? They do the Gothic Witch character better, okay, because they're actually doing the Goth Witch character, but they're very cartoonish in the way they do it. But Sky Blue and Julia Hart do literally nothing. There's no facial. They just stand there with like a completely no-cell face facial expressions. And it doesn't even look like they're like hypnotized or in a trance or anything. They just look like they don't know what to do, which I don't think they do know what to do because probably nobody's telling them what to do. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, you've got a lot of people like these two that should not be on Dynamite, which should be getting reps on Collision and the other one. And then when they're ready, they come in. They're still green in the ring, outside of the ring. They have no charisma. They don't work the crowd. At least these two girls.
Isla Dawn and Alba Fire.
Okay. The little time that they were in WWE, they showed a lot of composure. I don't know how long they've been around. You know, a lot of charisma. They showed that they belong, even though they were new. These two have been there for a couple of years and still, to me, like, you know what I'm saying? And that's a big problem company-wide. Yeah, you've got some stars that know what they're doing and some veterans that know what they're doing and some young guys with potential, but you have a whole lot of other people should not be on that show.
The purveyor of that fake news DI was Fall Vampire, and he's now on the suspension list. What's he get, a yellow card?
Yep. Right. Next one is from, what do you call it?
John Flynn.
So does Meek Mill allow to star in WrestleMania? Is there a double standard with wrestling fans and companies allowing criminals like Meek Mill to star at WrestleMania? Lesnar was never in prison. Mill has sold crack, told his followers to attack the police, had illegal guns, been in numerous fights, has been accused of having violent arguments with one-time famous girlfriend. If he was a wrestler, the biggest fans of the world would be calling him Snickers and all the sponsors to get him banned. Thanks, that's from John. I doubt if Meek Mill's going to be part of WrestleMania. She's got a lot of negative press on him right now. Is that true?
Yeah, but he's from Philadelphia.
Yeah. They do love him.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of the Diddy.
Yeah, but we don't know for a fact what happened. Those are still
I'm just saying, I think it's... But with the Philadelphia crowd, I don't know if they'll... Because...
They don't give a fuck, bro. Yeah. That's a Philly boy.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think they don't give a fuck.
They took him right from being released from jail to like a Sixers game at halftime.
And he's old. Yeah, he went to the Sixers game with the owner, super over.
Did he get pardoned by Trump or something like that?
I don't think so.
Who did Trump pardon? Well, bro, look that up. Rappers.
Bro, he pardoned Kodak Black. I don't even know.
Kodak Black. Right.
Oh, and that guy who was the drug dealer that financed Death Row, whatever his name was. Meek Mill did a promo video for WrestleMania with The Rock, but he hasn't been officially announced. The source says Meek Mill has been teased for WrestleMania, so it's not official.
Bro, when he comes out, that place is going to melt. They're not going to boo him. Yeah.
Next
he's one of
cat.
Them. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Disco. What was the question? I know people don't like when I say that, but...
No, I think they do like it.
So Beto Garcia, and I don't know what this means. WWE, pa-pa-pa. We weep? I don't know. Just
no, wepa. Wepa, wepa.
What does that mean, wepa?
Wepa is like a Puerto Rican word.
Okay. Wepa. Conan, thoughts of Damian Priest being the second Barrico to be WWF champion, heavyweight champion. Stay righteous, mentally and physically healthy. P.S. Ain't no game like Frisco 415 game. And that's from Beto Garcia.
The Padres will take care of you guys.
How about the Padres comeback against the Cubs?
9-8.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were down 7-8, 8-1.
Right.
Yeah.
Tatis hit that home run. Yeah. Bro, that very cool for him. I like Damian. I actually told him that, you know, because he said he wanted to be the man there. I go, well, that's what everybody wants to be. But your time will come. Because you're talented, and here we go. You know, Joe's been on his bandwagon for a long time, but I'm happy for him. Cool guy, respectful, smart. He knows what he's doing, and he's a big star. And the first Boricua to be WWE heavyweight champion, Kevin Sullivan actually put him to be my manager when I first broke into WCW. The great, I'm ready for any type of action, Pedro Morales.
Pedro Morales, right, yeah.
Yeah, super cool guy. He ain't afraid to drink, though, but super cool guy.
Next one's from Ryan Keft. Disregarding personal opinion on the finish, the story arc could WWE have done any better? I believe it was perfect, and do you think the Triple H and Rock partnership in booking is a catalyst for AEW's eventual decline in relevancy? This question comes from an AEW mark that has since started caring for WWE again since the change. Well, it's interesting. That's a Ryan Keft. He apparently has seen A lot of people are seeing now that Vince is gone that they're just immediately they're coming back to the product. That could also have a lot of people just gave up on WWE because of Vince McMahon.
Right.
And now that Vince is out of the picture, maybe they're just those fans are all coming back where they're looking to see, and they're selling out everywhere now. It's just like, wrestling must be cool again if they're selling out.
Right.
That's probably what they're thinking. So but AEW just Tony needs to surround him with people that need to make him understand. It's like, dude, wrestling is a copycat business. If something works, you do it. Like the WWE copied copied AEW with the picture-in-picture.
I just can't believe that Shad, who I have a lot of respect for, I summoned that 60-minute interview years ago, and I respected him before I even knew who Tony was.
Right.
He understands, and I think all the smart guys do, that you got to surround yourself with really smart people. And I can't believe that he hasn't learned that from his dad. There's no way that can be running a football team like he runs wrestling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, what was the question from this guy? Because I didn't see where the question was.
Do you think the Triple H Rock partnership is the catalyst for AEW's eventual decline in relevance?
Absolutely not, bro. Hunter's been running this before left. And he'd been doing a great job because he's a wrestler. And I bet you anything. And I think I read a interview where he actually alluded to such, where he was like, if I ever get a hold of this place, I'd change this and this and this, because he's hearing things from wrestlers, from production that probably never even gets to Vince's ears, or Vince didn't care, but he understood how important they were. And now he's getting his chance, and everybody that I've talked to loves Hunter.
All right. Next is from Kevin Dean Gander. There's no doubting Triple H's passion and talent for the business, both as an in-ring competitor and management. Without diminishing his accomplishments, how much he believes his marriage to Stephanie helped him achieve the success he has today? Probably like 80, 90%. I'm not saying anyone, but bro, the guy, I don't think was ever in a position of taking over the company if he wasn't kin to Vince. Vince was not going to hand that thing over to somebody that wasn't family. We eventually sold it, but it's like, if Hunter was just a guy, like no way, right.
To be for the best, because the guy's super intelligent. He knows the product very well, and he's done a great job. Right? This is not me looking for work or nothing like that. It's the fucking truth. I mean, just look into WrestleMania.
Yeah. Next one, from Jose Bumaye. Who did Conan smoke Iranian tobacco with this weekend?
For sure with X-Pac.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have vape pens, but I think one of them, I think Ray smokes nicotine. I'm not sure.
All right.
Dom has a vape pen too. It's hard.
Is it weed legal there now? They don't even test for it anymore, do they? Because it's legal in so many states. What's their policy on weed now?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Joe. He lives there.
I imagine that. No. Talk about WWE's policy. Like their wellness policy. Are they even testing for weed anymore? Because it's legal in shit like 40.
No, they stopped testing for marijuana December 2022.
Oh, they did? Really? That late?
Yeah. But everybody was smoking. I think it came to, they were like, fuck it. How are we going to control this? Even in Mexico, when you look backstage, it's ridiculous how many people have vape pens.
Well, even too, it's like if a cop catches you with less than an ounce of pot, he just throws it away. And I let you go. It's absurd. Yeah. So next one's from Jason Turpin from Mint Hill, North Carolina. From Mint Hill, North Carolina, weighing 265 pounds, Jason Turpin. Hey, last week, title match wrestling released a 3-minute montage of Rick Steiner burying Conan. The same day, he nearly paralyzed Buff Bagwell, called Conan careless, reckless, and lazy. Rick also had his detail on why he potatoed with Conan in the last Nitro. The interview is old, but it seems like there was real heat there. Have you guys made peace since this? And Disco, what do you think about these disparaging comments? I've seen this. This is from way long ago from Rick Steiner. And trust me, I think Rick Steiner is definitely far more laid back today.
Well,
especially with the young.
I've gone over this a couple of times, but obviously this guy hasn't heard it. The bottom line is this was at the end of him. This was at the end of WCW. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Shane Douglas was supposed to come out, and he came out late, so he kept hitting me until Shane Douglas came out. Now, they were pretty stiff, and I remember that when I saw the interview, I was like, okay, this is coming from Lex Luger's mouth, not Steiner's. Because he even goes, yeah, he heard Lex Luger. And when he was talking about me, he was saying that I was lazy and all this other shit.
Right.
That's the same shit that Luger was saying right. about me backstage. And it's funny because Luger, who was really good friends with Bagwell at the time, was trying to get Bagwell kicked out of the fucking NWO. Yeah. I don't think he was ever in the Wolfpack. And from the NWO, and then they were trying to get me. Then he convinced Nash to try to get me kicked out. And then Sting went to Bischoff. That's why I'll always have respect for him. He goes, bro, the guy's on the road with me. These guys aren't making the road trips. And he's super over. And Eric kept me in the NWO as long as he could because Lex was determined to make sure. Now, we have no heat now, but I'm just telling you the story how it was. He had so much heat because he'd never been hurt ever in his career, had to get surgery. And we did this spot where I'm in the corner, I'm doing the 1, 2, 3, and then he's going to push me off for something, and something was out of sync, and he tore his bicep, and he was telling everybody, oh, Conan's lazy, and Conan's this, and Conan. So everything that Steiner said there was regurgitated, I can tell you word for word from, and he was kind of like putting up for his friend Lex. Because I actually saw Steiner in Puerto Rico, maybe 3 or 4 years later. And that day I was really pissed off. And I was like, bro, I just want you to tell me the truth. Were you A, trying to hurt me, or two? And it was just me and him. There's nobody there to separate us. Doesn't mean I'm a tough guy or a badass, but I had had enough of this. And I just wanted to find out the truth. I go, were you trying to hurt me, or did Eric send you to do that? And he goes, no, Eric did not tell me to do that. He goes, Shane Douglas was late coming out, and I just wanted to make it look real. That's the explanation he gave me. You know, yeah. I got nothing but love for Robbie anyways. I was a big fan of his before I started to wrestle.
It's funny, too, how Luger, you know, it's like if you go back in the history, if you look at wrestling and you look at Luger's work.
Right.
Like he wasn't highly skilled. Right. Right. Like, you know, he's kind of.
But he looked like a star.
But he looked like a star.
Pushed like a star.
Well, let me tell you why he was pushed like a star. Through the power of Luger talking, he maneuvered his way through the top echelon of like the brass of people running the show and everything, and basically got his way most of the time, which is a fact. You know, it's like Luger. I mean, how often did Luger, like if you go back and look at Lex Luger on TV, okay, Joe, if you go back and look from the time he started, how often did Luger like take a hit to his stock on that show on professional wrestling? Like, how often did he do jobs? How often, if he did sell his ass off, come back the next week and get his heat back? Yeah. Like, he always Luger talked his way into staying strong in the show. And I'll profess, it's just because of the way he can coerce you into doing what he's asking. Through the power through the strength of like his
yeah, but it wasn't just that. He had a star look that 100%. Was undeniable, and you had to push him. It was almost like Sid Vicious. How do you not push somebody that looks like Sid Vicious? And he wasn't a power talker.
And when he was in a position of like, this is WCW, because WWE, But when he was at WCW, when he was in a position where it was like all right, you're in a very important spot tonight, he always came through. Like, if he needed to do a money promo, he cut a money promo.
Right.
If he had a big match, made of a match, the match was good.
Right.
And he never really had, like, when the light was shining on him, he never had a stinker. Right. You know what I'm saying? So he was,
But in this era of wrestling, they would hate his wrestling.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You never know, though. What if you Luger talked his way?
He could
Luger talk his way through that the locker room today. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. He could Luger talk his way, but there's no way he could keep up with today's work.
He would cut a money promo when he had to. He always looked impeccably thick.
Right.
Like he was never, ever.
Looked like a star, talked like a star, acted like a star, dressed like a star. Yeah.
Yeah.